Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Out of my bondage, sorrow and night. Reading the third stanza. Out of unrest and arrogant pride, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into thy blessed will to abide. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of myself to dwell in thy love, out of despair into raptures above, upward for aye on wings like a dove, Jesus, I come to thee. Reading from Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? In no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's give thanks for these words, even though they describe us in a very sinful, terrible way. But it is needed to bring us to the place that is also described here, that all the world become guilty before God. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ, the one thou hast given in thy love, and declaring, even by his mouth, as well as by the prophets and by the apostles, that thou dost so love the world, that thou dost give thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We pray, Father, that thou wilt give us eyes to see thy word and ears to hear it, that we might believe it to thy glory, that we might believe it to the saving of our souls, that we might believe it for the good of our neighbors and for the good of the world, that the church again might be made a salt and a light in our nation and throughout the world. We pray for it, Father, because it's needed so desperately. It's needed in our individual lives, it's needed in our homes, and needed in every nation. And we pray, Father, that we may not be left to go further and further from thee, that we may not be given over entirely to a reprobate mind, and then only have judgment and destruction. We know that that could come to us, but we beg of thee, Father, that through Christ there might be reviving rather than judgment. We pray, Father, that this might be as, Lord Jesus, you taught us to pray, to our Father in heaven, that his name might be hallowed, that thy kingdom might come, that thy will might be done on earth as it is in heaven, in each one of our lives and then in others, for thy glory. We pray also for the temporal needs that are there, those in sickness, that they might experience healing, those that are soon to leave this earth in death, that they might be prepared through Christ for that solemn hour. We pray for those that are homeless, hungry, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray for the women, slaves to the ones that murdered their husbands and taken them and their children captives, and then are under the awful lie. We pray, Father, especially for them in their hopeless cases. We pray for those that are in other situations, the many calamities in nature. We pray, Father, for the schools again to learn thy truth in history, that thou art our creator, thou did in the beginning create the heavens and the earth, and that the lie in the so-called theory of evolution may be recognized as it is, a lie, a guess, a contradiction. And we pray, Father, that we might come back to the faith of our fathers through Christ. We pray especially for the children and the broken homes. All again, in Christ's name, we give thanks. Amen. As we look at this once more, we have seen the first part of this declaration here, asking the question, are we better than they? Speaking of those who have not believed, Paul speaking to the church at Rome, speaking as they, not directly of himself, but it is not because he does not believe it was true of himself. And we can find that in other places as well, that everything that is stated here in the terrible description of what we are, unprofitable, our throat, our mouth, our feet, all wicked, terribly wicked, deceitful. But We might say that he knew this had been true of him, and he had learned it, as we read later in the same letter to the church at Rome, how he became guilty, and he says, "And I died." When he wrote to Titus, he wrote both instruction to Titus, but also a description of himself, and we may believe that Titus was included in it. Titus chapter 3, verse 1, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." And then it gives a reason why we should be able to do that. Much like in Romans 3, where he says, "Are we better than they?" and answers in no wise. And here, after he declares this and speaks of magistrates, leaders, he says in verse 3 of this third chapter, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." He's really saying to Titus that you and I were like that. So we have to be careful what we say of the leaders, especially to obey magistrates. And we should certainly remember that in our day. Many governments are in trouble. They cannot agree among themselves and do not agree with sometimes the people that have chosen and elected them. We have a serious problem in our nation, and some of them not wanting to leave the president in that has been elected and give reasons why he should be out of office, but more lies than truth. And especially by those who are promoting these lies. They are not only guilty of lies, but they are, most of them, guilty of wanting death for the unborn. So they are doing what Christ said to part of his audience: "The works of your father, the devil, you do." He said he was a murderer from the beginning. He was a liar. No truth in him. Those two things. And we are seeing that today. Lies, lies, lies. Many of them. Even quoting sometimes a person, but changing what they said. And then the terrible murder of the unborn. Awful. Too terrible, really, to describe. And yet we do not believe it. We're so hard-hearted. We are lovers of self. And we need to come back to this. Not only did Paul say this to Titus, also God gives the warning through Jude. Jude writes of those that speak evil of dominion and speak evil of dignitaries. He calls them filthy dreamers. And that's where we are today, speaking evil of dignitaries. Terrible words spoken of those who are in authority over us. And some even use the word we want to resist. Again, God gives warning not to resist and tells us what will happen to those who do resist. In Romans chapter 13, he says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. And whoso therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." We are in a nation in danger of damnation, because there are some openly declare, we are those who resist what God has given us. Not every leader in the past was my choice, but we had to submit and wait till God give someone else. Sometimes better, sometimes worse. But God gives. If we do not have good leaders, one fault can be ourselves. As James says, "You have not because you ask not." Or also, he gave warning, "You ask amiss to consume it on your lust." We sometimes want God to give us a nation like ourselves. What if God would give it like all those who want to murder the unborn? Completely. Give us over fully to a reprobate mind. That can happen. It is happening. And we need to be concerned. There's a hardness of heart in many places. We wonder why the young kill each other in the schools. They have parents that have murdered their brothers and sisters in the mother's womb. That is a hardness, a wickedness. God has said, thou shalt not kill, or even more plainly, thou shalt not murder. And we all have to realize our guilt and come back to what Paul said, are we better than they? In no wise. Again, Paul's words to Titus, we also were hateful and hating one another. That's where God had to begin with each one of us, declaring there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. All. You and I and everybody else. God begins with those that will not seek. Calls them. And as the psalmist said, only one hope, that thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And I think again of the great awakening with Edwards. He spoke of how God began at a certain time to work extraordinarily amongst them. Then, like with the Thessalonians, God's word was accompanied with the Spirit and came forth as a word of power. And I hope this comes as a power to myself, that I will repent, be humbled by it, and you will be as well. And then together we will know the righteousness that God speaks of here through Paul, the righteousness by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. It's there for the sinner. It's there if we will say like the song said, out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Yes, God has to begin with you in bondage. He spoke to some who did not believe it. John chapter 8 describes some who, when they heard his words, are described as believing on him. And then he said to those who believe on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Will you continue with me in these solemn words that Paul gives here? Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Do you remember doing that? People are doing it today. In government, in high places, as well as low. We need to see it as a nation, and we need to see in the church if we think we're different. Are we enough different that the church can be called a salt and a light in the nation? Does government know the truth of God's word? Do they have someone to tell them? Or is it a weak church, a compromising church? I'm afraid the latter may be too true. It certainly is a divided church. I read where a group were together before the president was elected and how they talked to him. And I thought, what a group. Each one having a different doctrine, much different from each other and much different, some of them, than the word of God teaches, especially in this here, which in theological terms we call total depravity. Our will is bound by our sinful hearts, sinful nature, by Satan himself. Like Paul says to Timothy, when he tells them in meekness to instruct those that oppose themselves, and with the hope, peradventure, God may grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Paul was there. I was there. Have you recognized it in your life? Learn from this. These are the devil's ways. Their throat is an open sepulcher, like we could see a sepulcher with a body. Today, it's in a coffin. The body is there, down in a sepulcher, down 6 feet in the ground. God says, our throat is like that, open to what God sees in our heart, the heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, as we read in the book of Jeremiah. Here we read, their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they have used deceit. And let's remember that as Paul is writing this, going back to verse 10, he says, as it is written. Last week we saw that those verses there, 10 and 11, were already there in Psalm 14, Psalm 53, the two psalms almost alike, describing what we have here in this 10th and 11th and 12th verse. So it is not a new message. It was there long, long before Paul. It was there with Adam. It was there with Cain. And we may be sure that Abel knew it to be true, and that's why we read that by faith he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He knew he had to have faith in another, as that lamb would picture that he was offering. And here we need to see this is a description of us that we need to know. We may not like it. I can remember a time when I heard a hand running through a belt. It was a nasty wound, and went to the doctor. And when I went to the doctor, did he make me to feel good? He first took a brush and brushed in that wound. And he says, I have to do this to get the dirt out, because it was run through a belt. And he said, if I don't, it will have infection. When the word says, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. And it gets stronger. The poison of asps is under their lips. And again, that is not a new message. It is a message that was there. We read Psalm 140, verse 3. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent, and like an adder's. Poison is under their lips. So again, it is a message that was written over 1,000 years before, as Paul is quoting it here when he says, as it is written. And all of this is in Scripture before. It was true. David wrote, Asaph wrote, Moses wrote some of it. And Paul is quoting from them. Further, he says, verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. We're doing it today. People, sadly, almost cursing one another in government. We are strongly at odds. We are not discussing. We are cursing. We are accusing and often lying about it. There must be hatred, and there is. Such hatred that we do not want to recognize anything right in others. Our vice president spoke here some time ago, and I probably mentioned it last message, and there were those that were nothing but protesters standing there near where he was speaking and protested loudly. If you tried to talk to them, they wouldn't talk. They wouldn't discuss. They says, well, you want to convince us. We need to convince one another, both of sin, each other's sin. Paul says, exhort one another, when he writes to the Church of the Hebrews. And we need to convince one another of the need of Christ. Paul knew that need. He said, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. He said, I have not yet attained to that for which I was apprehended. Paul, in his later years, wanted more of Christ, and we certainly need more of Christ in the church today. We need more of Christ in the home. It may well be true, as Christ said to one of the churches, and yes, to the church, not to the world first, but to the church, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Is he doing that with your church? Is Christ on the outside? Are we like that church that he spoke to and said, you say you are rich and need of nothing? Sadly, oftentimes before God, we seem to realize somewhat that we're sinners and that Christ died for sinners. But when we compare ourselves with others, we think we're better. We don't know this message of Paul when he says, are we better than they? No, in no wise. You might be better in one way, but worse in another, both in doctrine and life. And we need to come to realize that. We need to realize it in repentance. Realize it like the church at Corinth did. They had their divisions. when Paul wrote them, he made it very plain, so strong, that he said, when I wrote that letter, I repented. He very likely thought, too strong, really putting them down. And he did, in many different ways. All the different sins that he mentioned in that first epistle to the Corinthians. And then Titus went there, and he found them weeping, mourning, fervent mourning. They had a godly sorrow. And Paul says, now I don't repent that I wrote that. I hope I don't have to repent and say, well, I read something too strong to the audience. It's not. It's right for me. It's right for you. It's right for the church. It's right for the world. Paul is here speaking to the church and reminding them, like he did, of himself and Titus. We also were hateful, deceived. Paul says, Titus, a fellow laborer, we were that together. And others are there now. We have to remember where we came from. And God often says that. Remember the pit from which you've been dug, the rock from which you've been hewn. And if we don't remember it, we can grow harder. And we are. We are fulfilling what Paul said to Timothy. In the last days there will be perilous times. Men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, and we're there. We're there as a nation when we should be humbled together as a nation and called to repentance, called to the faith of our fathers, and above all, called to Christ. Listen again to those last words. But now, when there's a need, when there's guilty sinners, when their mouths are stopped, when they're ready to listen, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The same law, the same word that tells us we're sinners, tells us the message of Christ. Goes on further, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. And once again those words, for there is no difference. If you still think there's a difference, you're blind. You're filled with pride. Because you are sinners with the rest, and so am I. Paul, as an apostle, called himself the chief of sinners when he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. He wrote that to Timothy. Yes, he wrote to Timothy and to Titus of his own sin. And in that light, he can tell us rightly, because it's written by God, written by the psalmist, now here written by Paul. Christ witness, witness of God, witness of Christ, and witness to you and me, that we might repent and believe the gospel of Christ.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord.